Good morning. It is time to get up with the two-week countdown. Top prospects, potential trades, big surprises. You've got all the NFL draft questions. We have the answers. And speaking of the draft, should Big D have a plan B at QB? Should Jerry be looking for Dak's replacement at the end of the month? And LeBron and Steph are locked into the play-in. We'll tell you which one is more likely to make a run and which will be one and done. We are here on Get Up on a Thursday morning.
Let's go.
A lot of different colors.
a lot of different patterns.
I got Harry Douglas and Kimberly Martin and D Wood here to talk football. I got Alan Hahn here to talk basketball. We have more guests on the way as we roll along through the next 2 hours. We are brought to you by ESPN Bet, and we are starting with Alan Hahn and a huge night in the NBA. Alan, run the floor. Nikola Jokic.
Oh, I thought you were going to really make me run.
No.
In the morning to run.
It's just an expression. Nikola Jokic scored 41 points against Minnesota, and Denver seized control of the one seed out west. Are the champs clearly the team to beat in that conference?
Absolutely, they are. And they are looking like they're ready to repeat as champs. And you know what else, too? Nikola Jokic said, you have voter fatigue? Well, guess what? You're going to have to vote for me as MVP. 41 points. He lets Ant-Man know this is the level you got to get to if you want to be an MVP.
Day and out west, Phoenix outscored the Clippers 19-2 in the final 7 minutes. They're a half game behind New Orleans for the sixth seed. Can the Suns make a playoff run with their big three?
No, Dan, not at all. And the Clippers are the most maddening team possible because they're a team that should be playing a lot better than this down the stretch, because if anybody can take on Denver on paper, it should be the Clippers, but they have not played well down the stretch.
The Milwaukee Bucks beat Orlando without Giannis, who will be out for the rest of the regular season, which is to say 2 games. What is your level of confidence in Milwaukee as the playoffs approach?
It's getting a lot lower. It was low already before the injury. After the injury, it's a major concern because you don't know what condition he's going to be in when the playoffs begin. This was a big win for them, though, to hold off Orlando to keep them from catching them in the 2 spot. The Bucks seem to be locking themselves in at least to the 2 seed.
Locking themselves in, sure, but if they don't have Giannis,
doesn't matter.
Right? I mean, that's the whole question right now with Milwaukee. Are they going to be whole? Is he going to be healthy enough? If he's not, then who does that open an opportunity for in the East?
First of all, it's the Boston Invitational, right? We all know the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East, and everybody's fighting to play them and probably lose to them in the conference finals. So who would that team be now that the Bucks have injury issues? They already weren't playing well to begin with. It opens the doors for a team like the New York Knicks, who are also missing a key piece in Julius Randle. But they have been on a run to finish this season. Jalen Brunson is playing at an MVP level. Their defense has been stellar. They are a team, to me, that you have to watch when it comes to the playoffs, because matchups could dictate a lot of things. So the Knicks are certainly one team to keep an eye on that could open the door with certain matchups. But another team you have to think about in the East is one that just got healthy, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid. 6-game winning streak. Embiid has been playing great since he returned from the injury, and Tyrese Maxey is playing at a high level with Embiid on the floor. So if you're talking about teams where the door has opened, it is open for both of those teams. It's going to depend on matchups and who avoids Boston in the second round with the ability to play well enough to get to the conference
final. Nobody's got a chance against Boston. Like, does Philly have any chance to beat Boston?
No. The only team that can beat the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference playoffs, are the Boston Celtics, because we've seen them do this before.
We have seen that before.
We have. And we also know, coaching-wise, there's going to be a lot of questions about Joe Mazzulla, because there were last year. And if you look at some of the matchups coaching-wise in the East, he's not the coach you would pick. If you could pick, okay, who do I want, Tom Thibodeau or Joe Mazzulla? You want Tom Thibodeau. I mean, Nick Nurse or Joe Mazzulla? You want Nick Nurse. You go through the East, you're always going to find the coach. Eric Spoelstra is another great example. Rick Carlisle. So those are the things that you wonder about with the Celtics, but they play with their food. That's the only thing that could stop Boston themselves.
We'll see if maybe this is the year they get over that hump. How about a little eye candy? You want to check out this poster dunk from the Hornets' Brandon Miller?
I mean, your sport coat is eye candy for me.
That's exactly right, but that's all right. Let's watch this instead. This is a poster dunk. I think more people are interested in this than my sport coat. What do you think?
Well, Brandon Miller, by the way, like, he's been fantastic late in the season, but when you see something like that, when you rise up and finish over the top of a big man for the rookie, that's for a season that has been frustrating in Charlotte for him, he could feel good about this poster. Put that on your bedroom and keep that up for the whole summer.
Yeah, our football folks are back now. D. Wood, what did you think of this dunk? Yeah. Same.
Damn.
That's it.
I mean, man, you didn't have to do that to that man and his family like that. Come on.
I give the guy credit for at least coming over and making an effort.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if his family cares about him anymore if he's getting dunked on like
wow.
that.
Jeez. Wow. Wow.
Go Hawks.
Mm.
And his family. Hey, let's talk some football. The NFL draft is just 2 weeks away, and that means it is time for some burning questions. D. Wood, the Bears, we assume, are going to take Caleb Williams with the one pick. Does that make them a playoff team?
No, but I think they'll make it very interesting. Listen, I love the moves that the Bears made going back to last year when they traded for Montez Sweat. We saw the last 8 games of the season. They were actually the number one scoring defense in the National Football League. They go out there. They added Keenan Allen in the offseason, DeAndre Swift, the running back in the backfield. So there's a lot of what I call infrastructure for a rookie quarterback to come in and hit the ground running with the Chicago Bears.
Harry, assuming they go that way at number one, that Washington probably taking a quarterback at number two. You taking Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
I'm going to go Jaden Daniels for the immediate success, right? You talk about a guy that can play from the pocket at a high level, the explosive plays that he created, not just with his arm, but also his legs, rushing over 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. But I love his touchdown to interception ratio. 40 of those in college is just 4 interceptions. I understand he has some dynamic playmakers, but if I'm the Washington Commanders and the team that a lot of people bet not sleep on, if they can get good quarterback play from Jaden Daniels.
He's got to stop taking those hits, though, man. Those are some bad ones. Kmart, how high could Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy go in the first round?
You know what, guys? I wouldn't be surprised if he went to 5 in a trade down. The Chargers obviously have the number 5 spot. We know a team like the Vikings, they want to move up. But keep an eye on the Patriots. Keep an eye on the Giants. We all know that these teams need quarterbacks. The real question is, will they decide to go get a quarterback in the case of the Patriots, or will the Vikings be able to move up, give up as much as they can to get that 5 spot for J.J. McCarthy? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you mentioned the Patriots. Fascinating to see if he can crack that top 3. We've all been assuming it's Williams and May and Daniels. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of McCarthy, Chris Mad Dog Russo was on First Take yesterday, and
He had a reason take, I'm sure.
Let's just say he's not a believer.
You guys with this love affair with J.J. McCarthy, did we watch the games? Go take a peek. I mean, Maryland, he was awful. Didn't throw the ball in the second half against Penn State. He was not that great against Alabama, and they ran the ball great against Washington. Where in the world is J.J. McCarthy now, the 5th best player in his draft? I would never.
I want to get J.J. McCarthy's comments on whether Mad Dog spilled something on his tie. I think that would be good to hear. What do you think of what he had to say?
Listen, I think he brings up some valid points, but you also got to remember, like, the way Michigan was built, they didn't ask him to go out there and do some of the things that these other highly touted quarterbacks are able to do. Michigan was built on defense and running the football. So J.J. McCarthy is a guy, I think when you look at him as a prospect, you look at a couple things. Number one, his age. He's 21 years old. He's young. So he got a lot of runway ahead of him. Number two, he's athletic. But I think most importantly, number three, the pedigree, being coached by Jim Harbaugh. Most people around football, especially around the National Football League, believe in the way that Jim Harbaugh and the way he coaches up quarterbacks. And so him coming into the league as a prospect, people believe in the pedigree that J.J. McCarthy was coached under.
Here's what Mad Dog has to understand, right? I don't have J.J. McCarthy rated as a top 5 player in this upcoming NFL draft, but when these teams have a need at the quarterback position, they're going to move up in the top 5 to get a quarterback that they feel like could be plausible for their football team. And that's a situation that we're dealing with right now when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. But what you can excuse is he's 27-1 as a starter. Mm-hmm. And what do you just mention that he played for Jim Harbaugh, right? That's a guy that has had a lot of production everywhere he's been as a head coach, had a lot of production instantly when he went to the San Francisco 49ers. But you're down 7 versus Alabama, and you need to go score a touchdown to tie that game up. J.J. McCarthy, 2 explosive plays, one to Blake Corum on 4th down, another one to Roman Wilson, and he found a way to get it done. Now, the question is, he hasn't been asked, right, to be at the forefront of everything. But we can't sit here and blame him and put that on his shoulders when their team was built a certain way.
No, but if I'm picking in the top 5 of the draft, and if I'm trading up into the top 5 of the draft for a quarterback, don't I need to feel like this is a guy with a high ceiling that can be a guy that can carry my franchise at some point?
Yes, you do. And to your point, Hembo sent this. The list of QBs drafted second or third by a team that traded up for them, that list, Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, Mitchell Trubisky, Carson Wentz, RG3, Ryan Leaf. Not the most impressive, thus far, not the most impressive list. However, to Harry's point about need, listen, your value is really what people are willing to give up for you. So because of the position, your value goes up. And if you're talking about drafting, it's about projection. Well, when you look at these prospects, can J.J. McCarthy perform under center? Can he command an offense under center? He wasn't asked to do that because he didn't have to, but some of these other prospects, what teams need to see is, can you do the simple easy? Can you at least do that? We know you can do the spectacular plays, but can you do what is asked of you? So again, and your point about the pedigree, that is the common phrase I hear from NFL execs, winning pedigree when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. A lot of people have him rated differently in their on their boards, but you can't underestimate that program and that head coach that he's coming into. He's a step ahead from that standpoint than some other QBs.
Which team should trade up to get him?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Hey, listen, I'm going to pound on the table. Minnesota's a very good situation. I think Minnesota ultimately is the best situation for any rookie quarterback in this draft. And here's why. They got two really good tackles, okay? They got maybe the best duo. You could make the case they could have the best dual wide receiver in the National Football League, okay? They got a really good tight end in T.J. Hockenson. And most importantly, they have a head coach who's also the offensive play caller, and he's a very good offensive play caller as well. So when you look at the Minnesota Vikings, and they play indoors half the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is very appealing. And if I'm one of these rookie quarterbacks, these draft picks, that's the place that I would want to go as a Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota's got that extra first-round pick from Houston from that trade a couple weeks ago, so they're in position to move up if they want to. And if they can, we will obviously track that very closely. But we have a lot more draft talk coming up on Get Up. Caleb Williams, widely expected to be the number one overall pick, but is he the best player in this draft class? Someone on our show says, no, he is not. Plus, the D in Dallas stands for drama. Do the Cowboys already have a plan in place to move on from Dak? We're going to talk about that as Get Up rolls on.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We'll be right back. Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. Damian Woody is here today, so that means it's time for another edition of Would You Believe. Damian, would you believe that the Houston Texans are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
I would not believe. I love the moves that the Houston Texans have made on both sides of the ball, but they are also playing a first-place schedule this year. And you know who's on who they have? At Cowboys, at Packers, at Chiefs, at Jets, Ravens, Bills, Dolphins, Lions. That is a hell of a schedule for the Houston Texans. They could be better, but take a step back as far as their record this year.
Interesting. All right, how about this one? Would you believe that the Packers are the biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC?
I would not believe that. Listen, the Packers are going to be a trendy pick for a lot of reasons. They got a really good quarterback, a lot of really good young players. But I'm still a believer in what Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions are doing. I like the moves that they made. They added on the defensive side of the football. Their mentality, I think it's going to be a dogfight, but I really like the Detroit Lions.
All right, I'm 0 for 2. Here's one more. Damian, would you believe that this is Dak Prescott's last season with the Cowboys?
You know, I would believe this. Right, I would. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys are basically saying, like, pulling a Joe Flacco type scenario here with Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Bet on yourself. Go out here and basically repeat what you did last year, what was a MVP type season for Dak Prescott. If they you would have thought that the Dallas Cowboys and Dak would have came to a contract extension before free agency start. That hasn't happened yet. So we're in wait and see mode with this whole scenario.
I'll tell you who else thinks this is a situation to watch is Adam Schefter. Earlier this week on NFL Live, he was talking about the Cowboys situation, the fact that Dak is not signed yet, and here's what he had to say.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting, and that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
You're nodding your head. You like this idea?
I think it's absolutely plausible. Like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you have to protect yourself. You know that Dak Prescott cannot be franchised. If Dak, it takes two sides to go ahead and come together for a contract. If Dak Prescott says, look, I want to test free agency, there's nothing the Dallas Cowboys can do to stop Dak Prescott from testing free agency. So, listen, I think the Dallas Cowboys are a situation where it may not be the first round because I think they got some other needs, but I could see them, you know, second, third round pick. Maybe they go out and draft a quarterback, because who else do they have? Who else do they have? They traded a fourth
round. Yeah, Trey Lance.
They got Trey Lance, who they traded a fourth round pick for. But other than that, who do the Dallas Cowboys have?
But here's the interesting thing, Bishop Woody. The Cowboys are in this situation because of the Cowboys. Because they have allowed Dak to get to this point where he has all the leverage. And so if Schefter's saying it, clearly we're listening, right? But I think if the Cowboys know, if the Cowboys don't think that Dak is the guy, then yes, draft a quarterback. If the Cowboys think Dak at this point is going to say, oh yeah, I want to hit that open market, I want to see what my value is to other teams, then yes. But the Cowboys put themselves in this situation, which is why I think a lot of us are scratching our heads, like, we didn't expect that we would still be talking about Dak not having this extension wrapped up already. So that tells me that something's not right, and the belief in Dak, it might just be the issue.
Harry, you got to help me out, right?
Don't you worry. I'm about to help you, bro.
I mean, like, there's no way the Cowboys are drafting a quarterback this year, right, in the first three rounds?
Too many team needs. You lost two offensive linemen, Tyler Beatus, who went to the Washington Commanders, also Tyron Smith, who's now with the New York Jets. Who's playing running back? Right, and I also think this offense has to have a balanced attack. It just can't be at the forefront of Dak Prescott. You have to be balanced offensively if you think you have an opportunity to contend and win a Super Bowl. Defensive tackle, more linebackers, all these things are needs for the Dallas Cowboys. So drafting an immediate quarterback right now in the first three rounds, I don't see how that's going to make you successful if you Dallas with so many team needs, and also not being active in free agency in the 2024 free agency tracker. I also think they already got their quarterback that they're trying to draft, and Trey Lance right now.
Right.
The man will be 24 years old next month. Let's not forget, y'all, he was the third overall pick in a draft.
Yes.
The third overall pick.
And the San Francisco 49ers gave up one.
The draft position doesn't – I don't think the draft position really matters because we've seen other guys get drafted high and not pan out. I do think, though, that to your point, Harry, Trey Lance's story – forget it's not finished. It hasn't even begun to be.
It hasn't even begun.
Nobody's written it yet. So you do have potential there. But if you're the Cowboys, the all-in Cowboys, are you prepared to say, you know what, we're going to hand this over to Trey Lance, sight unseen, essentially? I mean, you watch him in practice, but he hasn't been, hopefully.
Well, you would basically be doing the same thing if you take a rookie quarterback. We're just handing it over to a rookie guy.
And by the way,
at least Trey Lance, you've had that guy in your building for 2 years. He had opportunity to sit last year behind Dak Prescott. He's going to sit this year as well.
Here's my thinking on this. Okay, if the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott has allowed this thing to get to this point right here.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a real possibility that Dak Prescott could become a free agent. Mm-hmm. What if Dallas is like, listen? This is the ceiling that Dak Prescott can hit. Maybe we want to hit a reset. Re-sign Dak Prescott, maybe we want to hit a reset, build under a rookie quarterback, because you still got to pay CeeDee Lamb. You still got to pay Michael Parsons. Yep. At least with a rookie quarterback, now you can continue to build out the rest of your team.
And Jerry's already said, like, we're going to go as far as Dak takes us, and this is as far as Dak has taken us. So,
But if you want
Jerry.
Success.
That's my Jerry. That's the best Jerry I've ever done.
If you want success in 2024, I would think you would draft guys that can help you right now this season.
I mean, everybody
not waste that pick on a quarterback, right?
Everybody's
if
been
this
killing
is
them
be Dak's
for not
last
signing
ride.
Guys, right?
Yeah.
Now you're going to draft a guy in the first three rounds that you're not even going to use? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They don't have a fourth-round pick because they traded it for Trey Lance, mm-hmm. who's guaranteed $5.3 million this season. It seems to me they've already got the developmental quarterback position filled, mm-hmm. and they need to address other needs. So I think what's clear here is that Harry and I are correct. I think that's what we've learned from this segment, and we have more to come. When we do come back, it seems like the NFL draft's going to start at pick number 2, but which quarterback will that pick be? Will it be Daniels? Will it be May? We will tell you what the big difference is between those two top prospects when we come back. Plus, the NBA play-in tournament is next week, and it'll feature LeBron James and Steph Curry. We'll tell you which one's more likely to make a run and which one is going to be one and done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. And it is time for some QB quick reads. And you'll notice how we spelled reads because our draft analyst, Jordan Reed, is here. He doesn't have, I don't think he has his sunglasses on like he does in that shot. But we'll see if he can find him. Jordan, what is Caleb Williams' pro comparison? Who do you compare him to in the NFL?
I compare Caleb Williams to Kyler Murray. They are very similar in the senses, loose throwers that can throw from any arm angle. They have various different components of arm talent. Now, Caleb Williams isn't as twitchy of an athlete or as twitchy of a thrower as Kyler Murray, but when we're talking about the playmaking ability, the creativity, and then, of course, both being former Lincoln Riley quarterbacks, I think Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams have a lot of parallels that are similar.
Harry, what do you think of that comparison?
Yeah, and I love the Lincoln Riley and also Cliff Kingsbury being tied to both of these guys. When it comes to the two, though, Kyler Murray is a little bit more quick, twitchier. I think when it comes to Caleb Williams running the football, you've seen him in his freshman season when he was at Oklahoma versus Kansas, fourth down, breaking tackles, taking it the distance. Also against Texas, breaking tackles, taking it the distance on fourth down. He's a little bit stronger lower body-wise, a little bit bigger, but I love the comparison.
He would?
Yeah, listen, just to echo what, you know, both Jordan and Harry was talking about, Kyler Murray is definitely a twitchier athlete, but I think as far as the arm talent, they're very similar as far as the arm talent is concerned. So if you're Chicago, you got to be happy about that.
Yeah, Kyler's probably the better base stealer of the two, if I remember correctly. More quick reads. Jordan, after Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, as we're all presuming that he will, if you're Washington, you going with Jaden Daniels or Drake May at number two?
I would go with Drake May, and this is the big question that the Commanders have to answer. Who do you want to take at number two overall? Yes, Jaden Daniels was miraculous last year, but over the long haul, I'm going to trust the flashes that I saw from Drake May. We're talking about a player that was only a two-year starter as opposed to a five-year player like Jaden Daniels. So imagine if Drake May had three more years in college, how much he would develop. But he does have some things to clean up with the decision-making and then also the inaccurate passes that he has throughout his career. But what happens when we take some of the heavy lifting off of his plate? I think he has the ceiling like a Josh Allen, Justin Herbert type of player, but it's going to take a little while to get there. But once we take some of those things off of his plate, he can focus on the footwork, clean up some of those inaccuracies that he has that is frequent throughout his tape. I think Drake May has an immense ceiling.
What do you think, Harry?
This is a tough one because if I want the immediate success, I'm going with Jaden Daniels. I also said recently on Get Up that Drake May has the opportunity to be the best quarterback of this draft class if he is coached the proper way, because he's just so raw in that raw ability. He didn't play a senior year in high school. He also didn't play his freshman year, had two separate offensive coordinators the 2 years that he did play, didn't have a first-round receiver that he threw to at any time in his career. So when you think about all those things, if you're Washington, right, if you're Dan Quinn, you're saying to yourself, okay, do we want the immediate success right now? Or are we going to take Drake May, allow him to sit and be a project, and then down the back end of his, you know, first contract coming to light for us?
So what do you do? Because you have Dan Quinn, who now gets to be a head coach after so many years of waiting to be a head coach again. You have Adam Peters, a first-time GM. You've got a team, we were talking early on in the production, they got Bobby Wagner. Like, a lot of the guys that they brought in, it's a very win-now situation in Washington. This is a new ownership, a franchise that is sick and tired of being sick and tired of all this losing, and Dan Snyder finally up out of there. So is this a situation where Washington is like, we got to win now to, like, reclaim the fan base that we had to get the good vibes back in D.C.? Or do you say, you know what, let's wait? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
I'm taking Jaden. I'm taking Jaden.
Because it's a win now?
Even though you think Drake could be the better quarterback. That's interesting.
Yeah, because if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm in win now mode. This is my second opportunity to get a head coaching job. I don't want to start that off losing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start that off with my franchise quarterback having to sit or having to learn on the fly.
Jordan, you had a thought on this?
No, I was just going to say that's why I think they do end up taking Jaden Daniels, just because if you think of the players that they bought in, like Bobby Wagner, they've bought in established players. Dan Quinn wants to win right now. So if I want the better player that is ready, more ready to play right away, it's without question Jaden Daniels. But over the long haul, I think the player that has more upside, and if you're able to be patient, is Drake May. Imagine Drake May landing in a situation like Minnesota with the Vikings, like you guys talked about a little bit earlier, where I can be patient. I have Sam Darnold as my bridge guy, but I'm throwing to Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, eventually a healthy TJ Hockenson, and I have one of the best young offensive tackle duos in the National Football League. I like that situation a little bit better for Drake May.
Yeah, but fascinating decision for Washington at number two. We'll see what, I guess we'll see what they think of their chances to win right now based on who they pick. One more for you, Jordan, on the quick reads. Is there a sneaky team you have in mind that could draft a quarterback in the first round?
I think it's the Las Vegas Raiders. And you look at a quarterback like a Jaden Daniels who has a prior experience and relationship with Antonio Pierce, who is the head coach there now in Vegas from their time at Arizona State together. The Raiders have a huge need at quarterback. We all know, no need to sugarcoat it, Gardner Minshew is not the long-term answer there. And I don't think Aiden O'Connell is either, the player that they drafted in the fourth round a year ago. So why not go ahead and trade up for Jaden Daniels? It's going to take a king's ransom, but go ahead and shoot your shot.
What do you think, D. Wood?
Listen,
sorry.
I always say everything starts within your division. Look who's sitting in your division. You got Patrick Mahomes and you got Justin Herbert. You got to swing for the fences. If you want to have any shot of winning that division, you got to swing for the fences. It's going to cost a lot for the Raiders to move up from 13 to, you know, possibly 2. But you got to try if you're the Las Vegas Raiders.
We understand the Antonio Pierce connection to Jaden Daniels. But is the new GM, Tom Telesco, and ownership going to be on board for that big jump for that guy? That's what I'm interested to see.
You're talking about Pierce was with Daniels at Arizona State when Daniels was starting out his college career. So, obviously, there's a relationship there. What do you think of the Raiders making a big move?
Well, you got to pick a quarterback at some point. Right, you cannot be in the AFC West with a Patrick Mahomes, a Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert is going to be better now that he has a competent head coach, a guy that played the position that he can count on, he can lean on for any and everything. We see how Jim Harbaugh endorses J.J. McCarthy. He's going to be the same way when it comes to Justin Herbert. You just can't be in that division if you're the Raiders or the Denver Broncos and not have a quarterback and think that you have any kind of a chance.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to see because they're both right in the middle of that first round, so we'll see what they're able to do about quarterback. Hey, you can check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in the ESPN Bet app. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, it's the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. It is time for a wake-up call from the reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets. Let's go.
Front court over to Christian. He's got Watson with him. Got that thing home! Right on Rudy Gobert! Oh, Rudy! Where you at, bro? Christian Brown just dumped that thing on your melon!
The Nuggets are now in the driver's seat for the top seed in the Western Conference with two games to go. Thunder and the T-Wolves right behind them. And you see the Lakers and the Warriors are now locked into the play-in, but we still don't know which seed each one is going to be. So, Alan Hahn, without knowing that, which team of the Lakers, the Warriors, do you give a better chance at making some noise in those Western Conference playoffs?
Before I get to that, can I tell you how special that lefty dunk was for Christian Brown?
Please.
Like, how special that is to go up and left, just to go like this and then left on you like that?
Yes, I asked for that.
Like, that kind of a finish is not easy to do on the break like that, especially against a defensive player of the year. So, that was special.
I'll tell you what.
Look at this right here. Look at, are you serious? Like, that lefty, man. Lefty.
Yeah.
Look at this. Challenging the big man. Come on now. That's special. That's why the Nuggets, they move on from like Bruce Brown and other players like that. This guy's coming off your bench and he's dunking on defensive player of the year centers. Yeah, Denver Nuggets are that team in the West that you look and you say, put your money on them to repeat.
Yeah.
Put your money on them to repeat. So whatever you're going to ask me about the Lakers and Warriors, irrelevant because they're not going to beat them.
What do you want to talk about?
They're not going to beat them. But I'll tell you who has the better chance. To make a run.
That's what I asked.
Okay, well.
And then you start coming over here and shoving me around.
Well, I just, because I get hype about
dunking. I'm a little thrown off.
I wasn't a very good player. I didn't have a lot of good skill, but I could dunk the basketball.
Yeah,
I still can at 52, by the way.
Wow.
So when I see dunks like that, I get hype. So let's talk about, though, the Warriors and why they are not the team that I'm going
to
pick here. 1-10 against the top three teams in the West. So they struggle against teams with size, which Denver has, which Minnesota has, and the Oklahoma City Thunder score a lot in the paint, get in the paint. So for the Warriors, even though they're playing really well down the stretch, I just don't see them being that team. So the Lakers will be, because if they get the right kind of matchups, they have to avoid Denver. They haven't beaten Denver, by the way, in 8 straight games. Yeah. Going back to last season's regular season, remember they had the gentleman's sweep, although it wasn't in 5. It was gentleman's because they didn't get blown out in any of the games. They were close. But still, they got swept in the conference finals. They also lost to them in the regular season as well, and this year they haven't beaten them either. So I'm looking at the Lakers and saying they have a better chance to make the run if they get the right matchups. If they get the Clippers in the second round, if they get Oklahoma City in the first round, a young team with a guy like LeBron, you might want to favor the Lakers.
Right. Otherwise, you're going to be getting dunked on by Christian Brown.
Yes.
As for the Warriors, like, is this it for the Warriors? Like, is this it for this group? The last dance, as it were, to borrow a phrase?
Yes, right. We have heard that before. It feels like it, and it feels like it, not to be disrespectful for everything they've done, but how many times have we seen dynastic teams have a third run? They just won. They had a second run there. They got a championship. One more title out of the core group by adding other pieces around it. The Spurs, they got one more title when Kawhi came around. One more. They could have had two, but they only got one. So, and then the Bulls. The Bulls had two. They never got a third one. It's very rare to see dynastic teams get a third shot at it. So I just don't see the Warriors. So it does feel like the end, but it doesn't mean they won't be a tough out. It doesn't mean they won't be a competitive team going forward.
See.
And with Steph Curry at 36 next season, do the Warriors decide, can we build one more around him? If you do, some emotional decisions to make about the guys around him.
Yeah, we'll see. If it is the end for this group, we'll see if they go out kicking and screaming in the playoffs again. Play-in tournament starts next week, and you'll see the Warriors.
Left, Dan, with the left!
I'm scared. Ooh. But coming up, Harry's in studio, so you know what that means. It's the return of his signature move. We have a special wide receiver prospect edition of That Boy Bad, and if you don't stick around, Alan Hahn will dunk on you.
Will too.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet.
Man, that boy bad.
Oh, no. Man, that boy bad.
That boy bad.
Boy. Oh, damn, Greeny.
That boy bad. That boy bad.
My goodness, Greeny.
That boy bad.
Watch it. Come here. I'm going. Oh, my goodness. That boy bad. Let's do it again.
That boy bad.
We should have cameras rolling during the break so people could watch Harry Douglas get fired up to do That Boy Bad, because he is wound up and ready to go. Harry, what do you got for
us? Here we go. Number one That Boy Bad this week, we're going to go Rome Odunze. Most people know him as a pass catcher. I also know him as a punt returner. One of my favorite places to visit in the offseason is Rome.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite players to watch the last 2 years has been Rome Odunze. Look at this catch right here. Game on the line versus Oregon. Game winner. Money in the bank, baby. I got it going. But check this one out. Semifinals game. But look who's on the sideline right in front of him. It's me. Rock the damn baby, Rome. Rock the damn baby. No needs to burp him. Rome Odunze. That boy bad. Now, number two.
Okay.
We have a guy named Malik Nabers. Speed kills everything. Right here in the slot on a post route versus Malachi Moore. Malachi Moore is looking at his ass because he's looking from behind.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Slot fade right here from his quarterback, Zay Daniels. If he's one-on-one, he's going to win that one. Shout out to my boy. And then right here, speed kills. DB then pooped on himself because he stopped so instantly. Pump the brakes. Let's go. In the open field, we have our guy, Malik Nabers. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Malik Nabers, y'all. That boy bad. Last but not least, my number one wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. Right here on the double move. You're going to see the corner grab his arm. It doesn't matter. My daddy's a Hall of Famer. He taught me how to catch with one arm. So what? And then right here, if you're going to leave him one-on-one on the outside, they're going to throw the fade. And he's going to get 2 feet down because he's NFL ready. His daddy said, we're not training for no puppet show. We're training for football stuff. Then number three in the slot, man coverage, you're going to lose that matchup every time. Marvin Harrison Jr., y'all. That boy bad. I see you, hon. You're in the bedroom a little bit, but it's all good.
I'm working on it, man.
He wanted Christian Brown.
He wants more kids.
Different kind of energy.
He wants more kids.
Long Island energy, that's all I can say.
Do we have Jordan Reed with us? Because I know Jordan's still here. Jordan, you have Marvin. There, he's got his sunglasses.
Okay. Ray-Ban.
The man delivers. The people wanted it, and he delivers. Jordan, you got Marvin Harrison as the top player in the draft. Why?
I do, and the way he shined last year, I had to throw my shades on, guys. That boy was bad last year. He's the best prospect in the draft to me, and when I think of the elite prospects that we have seen in the past decade at wide receiver, whether it's Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Ja'Marr Chase, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is on that similar type of tier. The handout coordination, the route running, the catching ability, all of that is on par with what we have seen from those guys in the past. So whoever takes Marvin Harrison Jr., whether it's the Cardinals at four or whoever takes him at the top of the draft, you're getting a game-changing type of receiver from day one.
Man, he wore his Ohio State colors to talk about.
I need
about
him to get the men in black pen out now so everybody can forget what they saw me doing. All right, if you don't mind.
We got a lot more football to come on the show, but we need to go to baseball now because we have enormous news on the sport's biggest star, and that is Shohei Ohtani, whose interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, is facing federal charges related to his alleged theft. Mizuhara is in negotiations to plead guilty. The probe started after news broke that at least $4.5 million was transmitted from Ohtani's bank account to a California bookmaker under federal investigation. And we have Buster Olney here to talk to us about this. Buster, you're obviously plugged in on this and everything that's going on around baseball. This latest news on Ohtani and the interpreter, what does it all mean?
Yeah, Dan, in talking with sources in Major League Baseball, they are hoping that their investigation in this matter is going to be done sooner rather than later if this plea bargain goes through. Because you know, if in fact a plea bargain is reached, if that case is resolved, then Major League Baseball will do what it's done in the past in steroid investigations and domestic violence investigations. They will go and talk to the principals involved. They're going to want to talk to the interpreter. They're going to want to talk to Ohtani. And look, it goes without saying that they want this resolved as quickly as possible because there's no bigger star in this sport than Shohei Ohtani.
Of course, because of what he does as a hitter and a pitcher. He is not pitching this season because he had an elbow procedure last September. That's become a trend around the game. He's one of many pitchers to have elbow issues recently. You see this list here of guys that are dealing with that. Some big names. Hembo's making noise over there because he can't believe what it's doing to his game. What are you hearing around baseball regarding this disturbing trend of elbow problems?
And Dan, you know this. This was a problem that started long before the advent of the pitch clock. In fact, there were more injury lists, pitchers put on the injury list in 2022 than in 2023, the first year of the pitch clock. When you talk with pitchers, when you talk with executives around baseball, they think at the core problem is about the chase for velocity. We've seen pitchers and organizations focus over the last 10 or 15 years in throwing harder and doing maximum spin on breaking balls in the offseason. Pitchers training to throw as hard as possible. And that's why a lot of people believe we're seeing this absolute wave of injuries.
So what's the solution? How do we come back from this?
So 10 or 15 years ago, the NFL had a whole issue with quarterbacks getting hurt. And guess what? They put in structural changes to protect the quarterbacks. They changed rules. And executives I spoke with this week believe that's what baseball also has to look at. Can you put in rules that perhaps could restore the preeminence of starting pitchers? Incentivize managers, organizations to develop pitchers to pitch longer to the game and throw at varying speeds rather than simply going out there and redlining like drag racers and then having a parade of relievers that follow. Maybe that's putting some sort of roster limitations. Maybe it's the idea of the double hook, which Max Scherzer told me about during the playoffs last year, where you tie the use of the designated hitter to the starting pitcher. When the starting pitcher comes out, then the manager loses the DH. They have to do something to have pitchers stay in the game longer.
Fascinating. We'll see what they do to address this because obviously it's an issue of great concern. We talk about these big stars not being on the field. Before we let you go, we're a couple weeks into the Major League Baseball season. We want to get some early season takeaways from you. Who's playing his way into a gigantic new contract?
Oh, my God. Juan Soto is off to an incredible start, you know, hitting 360 so far with a 468 on base percentage. Look, Shohei Ohtani's deal doesn't really pay him for another decade, which means that a year from now, Juan Soto is going to be the highest paid player in baseball. He's a free agent at year's end. The Yankees are going to want to keep him. I've talked to sources within the Mets organization that they want to keep him. What a great bidding war for him.
Yeah, it should be fascinating. Which high-profile team do you think is entering a multi-year rebuild?
The New York Mets. What's become clear in this very slow 4-7 start is they do not have high-end pitching, either at the major league level or in the minor leagues. And here's the problem for the Mets. They have this core position players that's essentially middle-aged. So by the time they put together pitching, guess what? A lot of those position players will be on the downslide.
And one more. Tell us about a highly anticipated debut you saw last night.
Jackson Holliday of the Baltimore Orioles. I've been informally polling executives around baseball the last month and asking who's the best 23 and under player. Some have mentioned Corbin Carroll. Some have mentioned Julio Rodriguez. Most are talking about Jackson Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, the longtime major leaguer. Great combination of power, plate discipline. He's going to be an incredible star, Dan.
You know, I you say this now, but you had this early. Jackson Holliday was 9 years old when you sent this tweet in November of 2013. Matt Holliday's son, future all-star. That is some high-level scouting by you, Buster. What was the tip-off there? Look at this.
All right, it makes me look smart, but I got to say, anybody who saw Jackson Holliday swing a bat at 7, 8, wow, 9 years old, knowing the history of sons who reached the major leagues, sons of big leaguers reached the major leagues, you knew that this was going to happen.
No doubt. Hey, it made me feel old when Vladimir Guerrero's kid and Charlie Hayes' kid are on my fantasy team this year. Now I see Matt Holliday's kid making it to the major leagues, and it's even worse. Buster, thanks so much for getting up with us this morning. When we come back, we have more hoops to talk. What does Giannis's injury mean for the East? Could Philly be looking at a date with the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals? That and much more. Stay with us. You're watching Get Up.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.